Welcome to Walking in His Word, everybody. Coming at you from Cornerstone Church in Highland, Michigan. Welcome to Walking in His Word, everybody. We got, I would say today, an interesting topic. I thought about something because Pastor Jim's talking about how there is going to be a evil man that rises to power, and he's going to be given the power by the nations to rule and reign. And this man eventually is absolutely terrible and evil and cruel. Now, I think about this a lot, Jason, and I wonder if you've thought about this too. You've got to be very careful who you give power to.
Oh, yeah.
But in life, I think about this. We're always looking for more leaders, more people to help, especially if you think about church. And if you own a business, my gosh, right? You always need more employees. You always need somebody to do another. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, we wish we had more employees. We need to like do this and that. And the church is the same way, where like you get desperate for leadership. And I've learned this lesson along the way. It is better to have no leader in place than the wrong leader in place.
Oh, that's so true.
And I've just thinking back on times in my life where I made a big mistake by giving leadership to people who should have never been given the power. And it's interesting, Jason, what happens to a man or woman who's not healthy when they're given a leadership title.
Oh, yeah.
How much that unhealthiness immediately gets exposed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it magnifies it.
It does. Mm-hmm. And that's what happens with this guy who comes into leadership, is that his true self is exposed. And I think there's a lot of lessons in there.
But I thought this description of him is terrifying. Daniel 8, 23 to 25. And at the end of their rule, when their sin is at its height, a fierce king, a master of intrigue, will rise to power. That's the Antichrist. He will become very strong, but not by his own power. And so this could possibly be referring to the idea that the kingdoms of this world, the kings of this world, the rulers of this world will give him power because he has 10 crowns, and so the 10-nation confederacy. Or it could actually be referring to how God raises him up. This evil man gives him the power to do what he needs to do to further God's divine plan. You guys realize that many times God uses the evilness of men to work out his plan. I just preached on it. On Easter, him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, you by wicked hands have crucified and slain, but God has raised him up. That's exactly what happened. God used the wickedness of man, of Judas, of the Jews, a Pilate, of the Roman soldiers. He used their wickedness, their evil, to work out the divine plan of the cross so that we might be saved. God does that. God does that. Getting back to this, he will become very strong, but not by his own power. He will cause a shocking amount of destruction and succeed in everything he does. He will destroy powerful leaders and devastate the holy place. That's the temple. He will be a master of deception and will become arrogant. He will destroy many without warning. He will even take on the prince of princes in battle. But he will be broken, though not by human power. So he will take on the prince of princes in battle. That's talking about when Revelation 19, when Jesus returns to this earth, all the nations of the world are gathered there in what we call the final battle, the Battle of Armageddon, led by the Antichrist, and they're ready to fight one another. But when they see the heavens open and the Lord returning, they then begin to fight him, And he destroys them by the words of his mouth. You read about that in Revelation chapter 19, right? Just tremendous. But, you know, he's a deceiver. He's crafty. He deceives people. And I do believe this, and we'll get into it more as we go through the book of Revelation. But when the Antichrist comes to power, one of the first things he does is establishes a treaty that brings peace to the Middle East, peace to the nation of Israel. But it's a false peace. He's a master of deception. And he breaks the treaty somewhere around the middle of the tribulation period, so about three and a half years in. He breaks that treaty. He desecrates the temple and breaking that treaty, and then it really wraps up. Some people say the 7 years is called the tribulation. The last 3.5 years is the great tribulation, because the calamity and the death and destruction ramps up the last 3.5 years. But the Bible says he'll be a master of deception, destroy many without warning. He will be broken, though not by human power. It'll be God's power that breaks him, that defeats him. Now, I believe that the Antichrist will come to power after the church is removed from this earth. And why do I say that? Well, my understanding of 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, this is a lot of teaching. You guys tracking with me? All right, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. It reads as follows, and I realize this is a challenging passage, the way it's worded and things, but it says this. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 6. And now you know what is restraining that he, the Antichrist, may be revealed in his own time. For the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. Only he who now restrains will do so until he is taken out of the way. So the spirit of lawlessness is already in the earth. The spirit of Antichrist is already in the earth. That's why there's false messiahs, false Christs, lawlessness, wickedness, deception, evil dictators, evil rulers. That spirit is already in the earth. But it's going to culminate in this man called the Antichrist. And he can't come to power until a restraining influence is taken out of the way. And I believe that that is the Holy Spirit working in the church, because Jesus says you are the salt of the earth. And the salt preserves, restrains decay and corruption. And so we're the salt. And when we're taken out of the way, God's people, then that Antichrist then comes to power and is fully revealed. So there's a restraining influence, keeping him at bay. Some people would say, I remember when I first got saved, 1976, so it'd be in the late 70s. I remember seeing an advertisement in the Dayton Daily News, and an evangelist had come into the Dayton area, and he had pictures of the Antichrist that was alive and well on planet Earth. And he was going to reveal who that was. And he had to come to his meeting to see the great revealing of the Antichrist that was present already on the earth. Well, that was 1978, 79. I think it was a scam. I also remember when I got saved, Henry Kissinger was the Antichrist, because he is Richard Nixon's Secretary of State, I believe, right? And he was a man of peace. He's going around making peace. And people even took his name Kissinger and did a numerology on him. And with their numerology, his name added up to 666. Wow. Well, I think he's dead. That wasn't it. And I'm very skeptical about anybody that says, there he is, and there he is, and there he is. And I'm not so sure about that. But since we're on the edge of his soon return, the Antichrist could very well already be alive, ready to be revealed. He could be alive on planet Earth right now, because I believe the return of Christ is imminent, meaning it could come at any time. And so we could be right at the Lord could come back today, and then the Antichrist be revealed. That's what I believe. So he could very well be alive right now. So that white horse, I believe, is the Antichrist. This man of sin, this evil man, he's anti, he is a false Christ, false promises, false peace, a man of violence. His true colors will come out. Seal number two is we have the red horse. The red horse is worldwide war. I just read a commentary that says since the World War II ended, there's been 150 wars since World War II ended. Probably has been more than that if you count skirmishes and this and that, right? When he opened the second seal, reading verses 3 and 4, I heard the second living creature say, come and see. Another horse, fiery red, went out. It was granted to the one who sat on it to take peace from the earth and that people should kill one another. And there was given to him a great sword. And so the first seal is the Antichrist coming. And as I said, he brings peace. It's a false peace. The second seal is worldwide war. So when that's open, that false peace is eliminated because the Bible says he takes peace from the earth. So that false peace is shattered. And that people should kill one another. And there was given him a great sword. So we know, according to other scriptures, that the Antichrist makes a peace treaty with Israel. But that false peace ends. Wars erupt. And those wars eventually lead to the final battle, the Battle of Armageddon. Now, I've been to Israel twice, and when you go there, you see the valley. It's called the Valley of Megiddo, Armageddon, Megiddo. You see that great big valley. And I remember the one guy took us up on a mount, as it were, an elevated place, and you looked out on this vast valley.
Jason, have you ever been kind of tricked by the world or lured into like that false peace? They said, oh, this will help. You know, this is going to help you.
Yep.
Explain to us maybe some of those situations.
Well, there'd be times like where, you know, instead of finding peace in the Bible, the Word of God, prayer, in times of tribulation in my life, I would say where I was down or I used to struggle with depression in my testimony, instead of turning to the world, people would be like, oh, just, I did this, this might trigger some people, but I used to watch a lot of anime is what it's called.
Okay.
And it brought me a false peace just watching like anime movies, TV shows, whatever it is, just sitting, watching them, and it would make me feel better in the moment. Feel like I'm peace, like I have peace, like watching it. Oh, this is great. There's a hero. Oh, it makes me feel good inside. I feel that peace. But the instant it's over, I'm back to reality. And I never got that true peace until I turned to the Word of God and to God where you really can find your peace. That's what the world offers.
I had a buddy at college and we would get stressed from the workload of all the assignments. And there would be so many nights where he'd be like, we just got to go to the movies, man. I just got to unwind. We got to go to the movies. And thankfully, there was a dollar theater in the city we were in because we were poor. So we could go to the movies. And I remember like being like, yeah, that sounds great to go to the movies right now. Mm-hmm. And we would walk out of that movie 2 hours later and it would hit us like a ton of bricks.
Oh, yeah.
We're 2 hours now behind. And we could have been using that 2 hours to get our work done.
Yeah. False peace.
False peace. We'll be right back here tomorrow morning, everybody. Walking in His Word. Thank you for listening to our show today. You can find more information at our website, cornerstonehighland.com. Subscribe to us on YouTube. Follow us on Instagram, Facebook. We'd love to see you at church one day. Please do not be a stranger.